The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today we continue to celebrate the victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his flesh-taking, the Logos has rectified the fallen nature of our race. All of God's mighty acts are salvific. They are appointed for us and for our salvation. In reading from the prophet Isaiah for this Sunday, we see something of the mystery of our salvation made present. Our salvation is a mystery because it's impossible to pin it down to just one thing or to explain it in only one manner. Throughout the history of the church, there have been many ideas of how Christ accomplished his work of redemption. These are sometimes known as recapitulation, Christus Rex, Christ as the bait on the fish hook swallowed by death, satisfaction, substitution, and moral exemplar. What we should bear in mind is that the work of our salvation is so powerful and deep and wide that it is really absurd to reduce it to just one theory or idea of how it works. Rather, all of these ideas are just facets of explaining how we are saved in Christ. For many of the fathers, saints, and doctors of the church, the mystery of God becoming man and being born into our world by a human mother, as fully human as you or I, yet without forsaking or lessening his divinity, is one of the greatest moments to ponder regarding God's mighty work of saving his people. Truly, in taking flesh of the Holy Virgin, which really begins on the Feast of the Annunciation, God is already our Savior. In the taking of human nature and all that it entails, the Logos deifies mankind and raises the dignity of human nature to soar above the heavens. That is, because being fully divine, when the Word became flesh, human nature is permanently and irrevocably united to the life of the Trinity and the person of Christ. Everything else flows from this, the person of Christ. We cannot separate the person from the work that he accomplishes. It should be understood that the Word didn't become flesh just to finish some job that Adam had failed to do. That would be somewhat like saying that if a good enough man could just come along and please God, then we'd be all right. But no human person could unite us to God in the way that the Incarnation did. Our salvation really exists as a life of loving communion with God. That is why Christ is the one mediator between God and man. His mediation is not just something that he does, but it's something that he is. Saint Ephrem the Syrian was a 4th century Christian poet and songwriter who reflected on the Incarnation in his songwriting. He tells us regarding the nativity of our Lord that blessed is the babe by whom Adam and Eve grew young again. Saint Ephrem sees in the flesh-taking of God the undoing of the fall of Adam and Eve. This falls in line with the idea that the Word came down to renew all things. Centuries after Saint Ephrem, G.K. Chesterton wrote, "We have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we." From one of the antiphons of the Benedictus in this past week's morning prayer office, we read, "While all things were in quiet silence, and the night was in the midst of her swift course, thine almighty word, O Lord, leaped down out of thy royal throne." That is, our race has long been travailing in sorrow, hoping in salvation from our mortality, our proneness to sin, our enslavement to death. It is we who have changed and have grown old and grim in our estrangement from God. The eternal God, who is beyond time, comes down to renew us, to make us young again, and to throw off the shackles of bondage that have held us in the veil of sorrow. God is not a slackard. He doesn't stand still. God doesn't react to events, nor does he simply have the power to see all events and make a contingency for them. Rather, God is everywhere present and filling all things. Everything in the creation and in the story of this world is meant to work in God's great economy of grace and redemption to bring us, his creatures, to him. God's word never stands aside. As the fathers were fond of saying, the Old Testament is Christ concealed, the New Testament is Christ revealed. Our Lord himself says to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Again, in speaking to the Jewish leaders of his day, Jesus says, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Whether it was as the angel of the Lord, the word of the Lord, or the one like unto a son of man, Christ was active all throughout the Old Testament. If you search for orthodox icons of the creation account from Genesis, very often you will see that they depict Jesus Christ creating the sun, the moon, the stars, all creation and mankind in his own image. That is the truth, but it's a paradox. Our minds, dwelling as they always have in history, don't do a very good job of grasping how a person can operate outside of time and space as we know it. Now, the prophet Isaiah tells us of God's victory in the reading for the epistle today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, writes Isaiah. In the synagogue, our Lord reads this passage, and then he tells the assembly that this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. In this text, the same chapter, we find our Lord overcoming the temptation of Satan in the wilderness, which is recapitulating the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness. In the same chapter of the Gospel, according to St. Luke, the Lord casts out devils, heals the sick. It's because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the scriptures. Through his own person, he is the redemption. However, he also works the redemption in all that he does. In effect, Christ has saved us, is saving us, and will save us. This returns us to that paradox of what is our salvation. Really, it's everything, but just to say that Jesus Christ is the salvation. Now, what are we to do with the salvation that has been given to us? This salvation is performed for us, but we cannot be passive in receiving it. We are saved to be God's active instruments in saving others. The text from Isaiah should remind us of another portion of the scriptures that we find in our morning office, the Benedictus, the song of Zechariah. Zechariah says to his infant son John, And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. St. John the Baptist is also known as the forerunner, since he prepared the people for their Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Savior, but he doesn't save us without us. We have to take an active and willing part in God's plan of redemption. And how is this done? By the declaration of the Evangelion, or what we call gospel. You may have heard it said that gospel, Evangelion, means good news. But that's a poor translation, because it fails to get to the truth of the term. Rather, the term euangelion at the time was the message of a herald sent on behalf of a victorious emperor or general. This messenger would ride into your city and declare the great deeds of the emperor. Then it was up to your city to react. After hearing of the might of the emperor, it was hoped that your city's inhabitants would bend the knee and welcome the emperor as their lord. If they didn't do this, they could expect to be brutally punished and occupied by such a lord. Now, the herald, the one bearing the euangelion or gospel, is not the one who threatens, rules, or conquers. He bears witness to the one that does these things. St. John the Baptist, as all of Christ's holy saints, does nothing on his own or for himself. Rather, he announces the victory of Jesus Christ. It is then up to the people to respond to such wonderful and terrifying news. You and I have the same vocation as St. John the Baptist. Brothers and sisters, we are heralds of the great King. We are the emissaries of Christ, the stewards of God's grace. Let us work to be found good and acceptable to our Master, to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ this Christmastide and throughout all the year to the prisoners who are bound in chains. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.